The only people who don't want to disclose the truth are people with something to hide. Is a forgery. In 1991, Barack Obama's literary agent wrote that the future president was born in Kenya. That was in a booklet promoting Obama as the author of a planned book that never did get published. One thing is for certain, when it comes to where Obama was born, the current occupant of the White House has lied about it at one time or another.
Is this a fraudulent Social Security number? That's my question.
Yes.
How do you know it's fraudulent?
Because he came up with no hits, but yet he's using it with an alias.
Welcome back to New World Out of Order. Hey, this episode we're going to be talking about the birth certificate. And I'm sure everybody in this country has heard about the birth certificate. And, you know, there were definitely, it really has the country divided. There were people who were, you know, just saying that, hey, it's, you know, just forget about it. Just don't worry about it. He's already produced a birth certificate. And, of course, there's other sides that are saying that, no, he's never produced a real birth certificate. What he has produced is has been proven to be a fraudulent birth certificate, an altered birth certificate. So that's what we want to talk about. And, you know, it's just, it goes back to our old motto here of using common sense. If you want to get down to the root of the story, you have to stop listening to primarily the mainstream media. And then I also recommend really not even relying on the alternative media in this particular case. You really have to go out there and do your own homework and find out exactly where this situation stands. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to be citing some alternative media here. And, of course, the biggest alternative media outlet that's really aggressively going after this and trying to report on, I guess, Sheriff Joe Arpaio's investigation into the validity of the birth certificate, and that is the WND.com, which is WorldNet Daily. And whether you like WorldNet Daily or not, it's not in question here. But I am going to reference some of the reporting that they've done. Of course, Mr. Corsi, he's an employee of WorldNet Daily, and he has done a lot of reporting on this. In fact, he has been kind of side by side with Sheriff Joe Arpaio in bringing and reporting on the investigation. So, anyway, if you guys didn't see the press conference that Sheriff Joe Arpaio had probably about a month and a half ago, it was aired, and he disclosed information that said, first off, he was requested by his constituents that to investigate the eligibility of President Obama in the state of Arizona to be on the ballot. And they're specifically talking about the birth qualification, whether he was a natural born citizen or not. So anyway, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and I realize he's a controversial figure as well, but he is still the sheriff of that part of Arizona. And he took that request from his constituents and had his cold case posse look into it. And if you have never seen the videos of this, I recommend it. I'm going to try to put these on my website. And the only reason I say I want to try is I have a lot of videos that I'd like to put on the website related to this subject here, because I really want people to view and to understand the information that's out there and some of the facts. And I'm going to try to stay away as best I can from any allegations or anything like that. I'm going to try to just expose just the facts, whether you like him or not. And just to set the record straight, I am not an Obama hater. I did not vote for Obama. But I honestly, when he was elected, I was a little proud, actually, that, the country actually did elect a black man for president, that this was going to hopefully really, quieten down all the racist, talks or whatever. I guess I was just kind of proud about that. I was concerned, and I won't really say fearful, but I was concerned about his intentions were and what he was going to be, what his motivations were. So I was definitely concerned about that at the time. I'm even more concerned about it now, but I'm not an Obama hater. If you've been listening to my podcast, you understand that honestly, I'm not political. I am a constitutionalist, and I realize that in this country that the two-party system, or even the three-party system that we have now with the Tea Party, it's pretty much a farce. And I'm even going to put the Tea Party in there as well. Maybe not when it started, but the two-party system between the Republicans and the Democrats, it's just a farce, and it's just a charade, and it has been for many, many years. If you just go back and you look at or you listen to what they say, and what they say, what their the press reports about what they say that they're going to do now, and you see a difference. You see a diametrically opposed ideology. You really do. But if you look at actually what gets done, what gets accomplished as far as, spending, taxation, budgeting, there's no difference. There's absolutely no difference. When you look at wars, there's no difference. So, anyway, from that part, like I say, I'm not an Obama hater, a basher, or anything. What I am is a constitutionalist. So I think this is an extremely important subject to get to the bottom of, because it is, one of the most flagrant, potentially one of the most flagrant violations of our Constitution. And it could be possibly one of the biggest fraudulent occurrences in the history of our country. So anyway, bottom line is we need to get to the bottom line of this. So let me take off here and talk to you about just a couple of things here. And I really want to, excuse me, I really want to talk to you about some of the facts in the case right now. And you know, I know people are going to, you know, dispute this, and please, I welcome a dialogue here. I welcome some feedback on this, and I would love to have anyone that's willing to come on and help record the podcast with me. If there's anything that I'm reporting that you can prove is not true, please let me know. So anyway, the facts are Obama's father, he was never a U.S. citizen, nor his father was an immigrant to the U.S., nor was his father even a permanent resident of the U.S. Obama's father was a transient in the U.S. As a student for a few years, and then he returned to Kenya. And so Obama is not and never can be a natural-born citizen of the U.S. And when Obama was born, he was not a natural-born citizen, since both parents of a child must be citizens at the time of birth in order for the child to be a natural-born citizen. Both parents must be a citizen of the United States. In addition to the requirement as to the parent's citizenship status, the child must also be born in the USA. Okay, so not only do the parents have to be citizens of the U.S., the child must be born in the U.S., U.S. proper. Now, Obama may be a born citizen, depending on the evidence in Hawaii, but born is not synonymous with natural born. And there again, I know this is, you know, splitting hairs here, but when it gets down to the legal terms, that's what we have to look at here, because that's what governs these things is the law, and actually the definition of terms within the law. And so if you look up, there is several, you know, definitions of a citizen of the United States. And I'm going to try to give you a quick rundown of those different ones. And I know there's naturalized, there's a derivative, there's a statutory, there's born, and then there's natural born. Okay. And honestly, I'm not going to go through, you know, all of those right now. I will go through the natural born, because that's what's, because, you know, as the qualifications for the presidency, he must be a natural born citizen. So we will talk about that. So anyway, so, you know, natural in this sense refers to the natural law definition of citizenship. And, you know, Obama can never be considered a natural-born citizen, no matter where he was born, because his father was not a U.S. citizen. You know, both parents must be citizens at the time of birth of the child in the U.S. for the child to be a natural-born citizen. Now, there again, he could still be a citizen, a naturalized citizen, or a born, or but not a natural-born citizen, as the law dictates. So that's a fact in the case here. And there again, you can look up, you know, natural born citizenship, you know, the definition of it. And as far as I know, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm not even a student of law, but there's, I know there's an old book called Law of Nations or Principles of Natural Law. And it was written back in the 1700s or whatever, you know, before our Constitution. And you know, it actually talks about this, and that book is actually still referred to today. And I'm not insinuating that that is the precedent is set by that book, but I know it is still referred to today. So anyway, let's keep going here. You know, when Obama wrote his book, you know, Dreams from My Father, you know, he wrote of his father in Kenya, and how his father, you know, hoped and dreamed of changing the Kenyan government and the world to socialism and Marxism, and how prophetic that might have been. He considers himself a citizen of the world, and as he actually made that statement one time, actually in Berlin somewhere, before he considers himself to be a citizen of the USA, he considers himself to be a citizen of the world. Or again, that doesn't prove anything. It's just a statement that he did make. The fact of the matter is that based on his parental status, and that his father was never a citizen of the United States, that makes Obama ineligible to be considered a natural-born citizen. And there again, the natural-born citizen is the requirement of one of the eligibility requirements for being a presidential candidate. Okay, another fact here is that, President Obama has not provided a certified copy of an original long form birth certificate signed by his mother and his doctor, with the name of the hospital on it. And, he has never provided that. Okay. Now, all he has provided to the electorate and public to see is a digital image on the internet of a purported copy of a short summary, computer printed from what was called a certificate of live birth, which is not a birth certificate. No one in legal authority or official capacity has ever been allowed to examine the purported computer made up paper document, until recently when, Sheriff Arpaio in his cold case posse, I guess, actually took that copy, the official electronic copy from the White House. Actually, I think they took it actually from the White House website. They might have actually had it delivered to them as an electronic copy, but they took the electronic copy that the Obama administration provided as the official long-form birth certificate. Okay, that's what they examined. And what they did prove is that that copy had been photoshopped. I'm using Photoshop as a generic term here. It had been altered. There were layers in it. And if you think about it, if you know anything about Photoshop, whoever did this was definitely sloppy in that, because it's easy to somewhat cover up the layering in Photoshop, but it sounds like they didn't even do that at all. So they left the layers there. They could have actually merged all the layers. And, what he provided was an electronic copy that has actually been examined by experts, document experts, electronic fraud experts, and have definitely determined, and it's actually depicted specifically what it is that they determined has been altered on the birth certificate. It's depicted in the videos of the press conference that Sheriff Joe Arpaio had. And like I said, I'll do my best to put all those videos on the website. There again, the website is nwo3.com, www.nwo3.com. So anyway, so what we have now is we have two facts presented so far. And the first fact is that by definition, Obama cannot be considered a natural born citizen of the U.S. solely because, or one thing is because his dad was never actually a citizen of the U.S. And the requirement of a natural born citizen is that both parents must be citizens of the U.S. and the child must be born in the United States. And the other fact is that Obama has never provided a legal long form birth certificate that proves his origin of birth. Now, he's provided an electronic copy. Now, you must understand that is not admissible or acknowledged to be an official document by law. It's just not. So, and even that, the what he did provide has been proven to be altered and not correct. So, there's another thing we need to talk about here too, and that is, it just for people to understand, is that back in Hawaii, back in 1961, and even today, it sounds like is the laws regarding the reporting of a birth and the recording of a birth are a lot different than most states in the continental U.S. They're a little lax over there. So, back I guess in 1961, registrations of live birth, they were real vague in Hawaii. Certificates for children born out of state, upon application of an adult or legal parents of a child, the director of health was supposed to issue a birth certificate for the child, provided that proof has been submitted to the director of health that the legal parents of the child, while living outside of Hawaii, had declared that Hawaii was their legal residence at least 1 year prior to the birth. So, I know that sounds like a whole bunch of gobbledygook, but what it's saying is that, this was the law as it was back in 1961, that in Hawaii, that if a child was born outside of Hawaii to parents that were residents of Hawaii for at least 1 year prior to the birth, all they had to do was to provide, tell the director of health that where the guy was born, where the kid was born, and they would issue them a certificate. Now, there again, even that certificate today is not an admission in court, cannot be used as evidence of legal birth. Okay, it's just a certificate that's saying, hey, this guy was born. There is no actual traceability to it. There's it's just not an official document. So and like I say, you can look that up. That's, you know, it's pretty easy to look up here. So you know that's one for Obama. If he was born outside of Hawaii, which it really looks like that he most likely was, born in Kenya, but that they would actually give him a certificate of live birth in the state of Hawaii back then, if his mother was a resident of Hawaii for at least 1 year prior to the birth. And it's, from what I read, it seems like she does qualify for that. So, so she would have gotten that. But there again, everybody, you know, the courts understand and the lawyers understand that certificate is not a admissible proof for the electorate that he is eligible to be a candidate for president of the United States based on the fact that he's a natural born citizen. Okay. Now there again, I spoke about that lax law in Hawaii of kids that were born outside of Hawaii to parents that were residents of Hawaii. Well, the fact is if the kid was born in Hawaii at that time in 1961, he would have been issued an official traceable long-term birth certificate. So, but if he was not born in Hawaii, but his mom had lived in Hawaii at least 1 year, he would be issued this certificate of live birth, which has no legal ground whatsoever. It's just, you know, saying that, hey, this guy was born to this mom, and you know, he was born outside of Hawaii, but you know, she was a resident here. So, so I hope everybody, you know, understands that. And please, you know, go check that out on the Hawaii government pages. So that's the third fact. The fourth fact about this is qualification for U.S. citizen, qualification by the Constitution for a person to serve as president of the U.S. says they must be a natural born citizen. Most people don't know that there are several categories of citizenship in America. This is what I mentioned before. The most popular ones are naturalized, a derivative citizen, statutory, born, and then natural born citizen. Natural born citizen, you know, we've already talked about what constitutes a natural born citizen. And, you know, it sounds like, Obama was born in Kenya. Now, there's several reasons that I say that. And the first reason that comes to mind is that his grandmother, who lives in Kenya, you know, she has admitted in a recorded interview that she was present at Obama's birth in Kenya in 1961. So, you know, there again, and that whole conversation was recorded. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, there's going to be a translation issue there because, you know, she speaks Swahili. But, you know, they had an interpreter. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, they could have misled her. You know, is it very easy to take a conversation in a certain direction and get some people to say something that makes you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, this whole conversation was recorded. You can go back and listen to it, or you can go back and actually read the transcripts. And I'll actually put the transcripts on the website so that you can actually read those. It really doesn't sound like that she was manipulated whatsoever to say these things. She was just bluntly asked that, you know, was she present when Obama was born? And of course she acknowledged yes. For him to qualify as a natural born citizen, it really looks like that's, all right. Let's actually go talk about the legal facts here. Like, there again, I'm trying to stay away from any sort of speculation or any sort of allegations in regards to the subject. So, there was a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit brought about in the state of Pennsylvania. And this was back in 2008. I think the lawsuit was filed. Yeah, I've actually got a copy here. It was filed in October of 2008, just a month before President Obama was elected. And it was filed. The actual case was between Philip J. Berg, and Barack Hussein Obama. I have an affidavit here I'm going to refer to, and I'll put this up on the website. And it's an affidavit from Reverend Kweli Chuhubaya. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but anyway, so, you know, he gives a history of himself. In other words, they provide some clarification as to who he is and some credibility, lay some credibility out for him. So anyway, he's a ordained minister and administers the gospel according to Jesus Christ. He's a native evangelist and translator for the Anabaptist churches in Kenya. He's an official Swahili translator for the annual Anabaptist conference held every year in Africa. And he also works with the American bishops sitting upon the Continental Presbytery of the Anabaptist Churches of Africa. Fluent in Swahili and English, former teacher in Kenya, and he's traveled throughout Africa, throughout Kenya, Uganda, and Sudan. It's common knowledge throughout Christian and Muslim communities in Kenya that Barack Hussein Obama Jr., the President Obama, was born in Mombasa, Kenya. And he states that Senator Obama's grandmother, of course, he was senator at the time this affidavit was filed. Senator Obama's grandmother still resides in the village of Aleko Kokoelo. You have to forgive my Swahili here. So anyway, they went and interviewed Mrs. Sarah Obama, I think is her actual name. Yeah, Sarah Obama. And he goes on to talk here. It's very interesting. He's talking about some history of Kenya. The tribal cultures of the Kenyanese people have involved much turmoil during the national elections at the end of 2007 and the beginning of 2008. Says the much published violence that erupted over the presidential elections caught the world's attention. And he says, myself and several American ministers with our church were present during this time in Kenya, and the facts concerning this strife and the ensuing violence were well known and of common knowledge throughout all of Kenya. The opposition party that was responsible for all of the violence was from the minority Luo tribe, L-U-O tribe, which is a Muslim tribe that supported Mr. Raila Odinga for president. And Raila Odinga is a Marxist socialist who graduated from East Germany Magdeburg University. He named his firstborn son after Fidel Castro. Odinga spent 6 years in prison for his admitted involvement in the bloody coup attempt in 1982 to overtake and assassinate Daniel Moi, Kenya's president at the time. Odinga has publicly admitted to being the leader of that coup. Odinga is the cousin of President Obama. Mr. Obama is from the same Muslim tribe, the Luo tribe, as Mr. Odinga. Yeah, Senator Obama visited Kenya in August 2006, campaigned extensively for his cousin, which gave Odinga a tremendous boost. During Obama's campaign stops on behalf of his cousin Odinga, the senator made numerous claims against the democratic movement of Kenya and Kenya's president at the time, claiming they were corrupt, stating often that Kenya was ready for a change. It has also been common knowledge throughout Kenya that Obama sent his foreign policy advisor, Mr. Mark Lippert, to Kenya at least three times to advise Mr. Odinga in his campaign strategies. President Obama also donated over $1 million to his cousin's, Mr. Odinga's campaign fund, and that is documented and can be still viewed today through the official Kenyan government site. So anyway, what we said so far is this affidavit in this particular civil suit is stating that President Obama is from the Luo tribe of Kenya. His cousin is a political activist and a politician that was part of the coup to overthrow the president. He's definitely a Marxist, a socialist, and that he was supported heavily by Barack Obama. There again, all that says is just what it says, and that's all it says. You can't prove anything, or you can't be misled by anything else. It does not say that Obama is a Muslim. It kind of makes you think that, but it's circumstantial evidence. It just says that his cousin is most likely a Muslim and a Marxist socialist. Kind of continue on down here, and I'm trying to read all this. I know you guys can read it on the website, but Mr. Odinga promised that if he was elected, that he would bring about drastic changes in Kenya and would include the following. He recognized Islam as the only true religion. Islamic leaders would have an oversight role to monitor activities of all other religions. He would install the Sharia courts in every jurisdiction to implement Islamic law. And he would implement a ban on Christian preaching. Just talking about Obama's cousin, Mr. Odinga. It's not talking about President Obama. So anyway, the meat of this affidavit in regards to the birth issue is at the end, which is Coeli Shuhudaya. He was actually the translator for the conversation between this particular reporter and Mrs. Sarah Obama, which is Obama's grandmother. The interview started off, and the interviewer requested permission to record the conversation. They said yes, and of course, when he turned the recorder on, he actually restated that request is okay to record, and they said yes. They talked briefly about some stuff. I'm not gonna talk about all that, but you need to read it all. I encourage you to read it all. But anyway, it comes down to, he said, Mr. McRae, who is the interviewer, he said, can I ask her about his actual birthplace? I would like to see his actual birthplace, you know, when I come to Kenya in December to visit. And he says, was she present when he was born in Kenya? And her reply was, yes, she was present when Obama was born. You know, you need to read this, and you need to, you know, understand the whole situation here, of, you know, how it was set up, and read the whole interview to make sure that you understand this seems very, very authentic. It doesn't seem like it was contrived. It doesn't seem like she was manipulated into saying anything whatsoever. So, you just consider that. So the bottom line here, as far as the birth certificate is concerned, you know, people will say, well, you know, whatever, you know, it's too late now. You know, if it is a fraudulent, if he wasn't born in the United States, then I guess he just got away with it. Well, no, see, that's not where, I don't subscribe to that whatsoever. You know, if he is not a natural born citizen, you know, he violated the laws, the requirements for presidency, and that is a huge fraudulent act. And to me, if he is truly a citizen of the United States, that is a huge treasonous act and should result in extreme, extreme punishment. Now, I'm not advocating death penalty whatsoever, but I'm saying that it should be extreme, extreme punishment. So if you have someone who is who obtained the office of presidency fraudulently, and there is suspicion, there again, if you look at all this other stuff, that he might be, and through his, you know, you look at his actions and also his associations, and the associations, some of the associations I referred to, and that is his cousin, and how he's helping to really promote this guy, and how he was actually born into the tribe, which the tribe is Muslim. And so there's a high suspicion that, you know, this guy obtained the office fraudulently and for purposes that or could be detrimental to the welfare of a country. And I just don't know a better way to say that. So that is extremely treasonous, you know. you know, if you think that soldier, you know, Bradley, that, supposedly leaked those documents to WikiLeaks, you know, people call him the extreme traitor. Well, you need to look at the details in that case as well. We're not going to go into that, but you don't think that someone who if proven to be to have attained the office of presidency fraudulently and with possible covert agenda, I guess, you don't think that's the ultimate part of treason? That's where you just need to use common sense. You just need to use common sense. You know, whether you can prove that or not, what it looks like, it really looks like they're going to be able to prove that the birth certificate was a fraud, and that he was not a natural born citizen. So, and what that does is declare him ineligible to be president. And, you know, what are the ramifications of that since he's already been in office for almost 4 years? Well, I don't know, but I would have to assume that any of the official actions, that performed by President Obama, and that includes any and all laws signed by President Obama, all presidential directives, executive orders, would have to be nullified. I just can't see any other way around that. So anyway, bottom line is, if and when this is proven to be a fraud, that's when we have to tackle the next step of what happens. What's the ramifications of this? And it is going to be messy, as you can imagine. But, you know, it can't just be swept under the rug and allowed to happen. We just can't do that. It's total violation of the Constitution, and that's what it's all about. If you want people to be president who are not citizens of the United States, amend the Constitution, okay? Don't fraudulently acquire the office. So anyway, that's my soapbox there. So I'm going to finish up here with one thing real quick. A lot of people, including myself, you know, what can I do, right? What can I do? You find out the truth of all this and how the government's not lying to you. I mean, it is lying to you, how they're not being truthful. You know, what can I do? I mentioned this before. I'm going to mention it again. I'm probably going to be mentioning it on every future podcast because I do believe in this group, and that is the We the People organization. You can find us at givemeliberty.org. We have twice weekly webinars that explain what we are doing right now, and the biggest thing one of the biggest things that we are doing is forming the Constitution Lobby, and it's something that I think everybody is going to be akin to, and that they will hopefully, I just can't imagine how true Americans could not want to support this. You know, if you look out there, every major industry, company, whatever, even foreign countries have these huge lobbies, lobbyist organizations in this country that, you know, that influence our politicians. So, but the Constitution, the ultimate law of the land, doesn't have a lobby. In fact, the problem is it doesn't even have the majority of the people willing to speak up and uphold the Constitution. You know, we are the ultimate people who are in charge of government, but we forget that. So anyway, and I know people don't want to spend time, you know, everybody doesn't want to spend time out here reading the news and staying on top of all these, the legislation and stuff. And I understand that. And in this world, this busy world today, it's hard to do that. But so now that's why the Constitution Lobby makes sense. It takes the membership. And what we like to do, the plan is to get, in order to get any sort of redress, grievances, there needs to be or any sort of attention by government to, petitions. There needs to be a 3-5% alignment of the population. So anyway, so what we're trying to do is our goal is to get a 3-5%, membership in each state. Because it's going to be a constitutional lobby form in each state. And we'd like to get 3-5% of that population of that state as members, okay? And the members of this Constitution Lobby in each state are going to be of various involvement levels. In other words, you can come in and just be a member and just support. it's $25. It's $25 membership regardless, but you can come in and just be a supporter. If you just like the calls, okay? Or you can come in and you can actually be a constitutional monitor for your community, for your local town, city, county, whatever. In other words, you monitor what's going on from a legislation standpoint. And there again, the more monitors that we get, it's not like it's going to consume a lot of people's time. The more monitors that we get, you're going to have, it's not just one or two people that's going to be responsible for doing this monitoring. It's going to be hundreds, if not thousands of people that's going to be doing it. So, and what we're doing is we're making sure that any laws passed do not violate the Constitution of that each state and then also the Constitution of the United States of America. So it's just a great organization. Now, the ultimate goal will be to have a citizen vigilance center in the capital of each state. And that's going to be staffed with constitutional lawyers. It's going to be staffed with We the People people. It's going to be, it's a nonprofit organization, and this is going to be continuously monitoring all legislation and action for abuses to the Constitution. And it is going to confront them. And it is also going to bring that to the attention of the public and the press. And there again, if we have a 3-5% commitment of members, then any sort of violation, because you're probably going to be asking yourself, well, what can you do? Even if you notice a violation, what can you do? Well, we have 3-5% of the population now who will stand up against this purported violation, and we will have to be heard by the government. And I understand that a lot of people are saying, well, what's going to make you be heard by the government? Well, you are. The members of this is going to make sure that we are going to be heard by our governments. They're going to be able to have to realize that they answer to us. Okay. Anyway, it's a great organization. GiveMeLiberty.org. Go ahead and sign up for a webinar. It runs about an hour, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. It's a great, slide presentation. I am the coordinator for the state of Georgia, and if you live in the state of Georgia or if you live in the Savannah, Georgia area, contact me on the website, and I will be happy to organize a personalized presentation for your family and friends or whatever, because it's very important that we get this word out that this organization is out there. And I think that once people find out that the organization is there and then find out what the organization is about and what we are trying to do, then everybody can make a decision where, this makes sense. This is the way it should have been all the time. We have a citizens group here that's monitoring the Constitution. We're not relying on our representative, and we know most of those are corrupt. We know most of those don't have the best interest of the company, of the country at heart, or the state. So anyway, go check it out. GiveMeLiberty.org. Check out the webinar. See what you think. If you have any questions, there's an email address provided on the website there, or you can email me at the NWO3.com website. However, even though I am the state coordinator for We the People in the state of Georgia, there is no affiliation between We the People and NWO3.com. Totally separate entities. So anyway, totally separate. Anyway, guys, listen, thanks for tuning in. I know I'm kind of running along here, but I hope you got something out of this podcast. Please share it with other people. Check out the website for detailed videos and documents pertaining to the Obama birth certificate issue. And what we want people to concentrate on is the facts. First, you need to understand this needs our attention. It does need our attention. I don't care if his president's black, white, blue, yellow, brown. I don't care. It doesn't matter if he's Republican, Democrat, or whatever. Okay. This is a potential flagrant violation of the Constitution. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be put to bed. So you need to go out here and just read the facts about the case. And, or I say case, not a case yet, but, so check it out, nwo3.com. Click on the web, on the podcast, on the menu bar, and you can listen to the podcast there as well, any of them, and then also you can read the information about any particular podcast. So thank you very much. We will catch you in hopefully within a week.